In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, last week I invited you to ponder your life and examine where God had blessed you. And, as I always do, I did the same thing. Well, this week I'd like to take you on a little journey, a journey of faith. A journey to a little piece of heaven, a place that has blessed me richly in my life. I'm bringing you on this journey because our scriptures this morning are all about faith. Well, okay, they're not all about faith. The Old Testament reading from Isaiah was a little bit about justice and accountability. And it's pretty clear, I think. If it frightens you a little bit, you weren't paying attention. It should be frightening you a lot. That said, I think that reading is pretty clear, and I don't think it really needs that much explanation. Jesus and Paul, on the other hand, are talking about faith. And especially in this pastoral setting outside, remember, imagination, trees overhead, everything. I do have some things that I'd like to say about faith. That's why I want to bring you along on this journey. I think there's no better way to look at faith than through the metaphor of journey. Faith is often described in the Bible in terms of journey. The Old Testament is full of them. Adam and Eve leaving the garden and going out into the cold, hard world. Noah's flood cruise. Abram being called to journey from his home to a land that would be given to him. Joseph's journey to Egypt, and the Exodus journey back to the Promised Land, and the exile in Babylon, just to name the high points. The New Testament gives us Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, and Paul's many missionary journeys to Asia Minor, Greece, and Rome. A couple of weeks ago, after I spoke about my friend Brian, and playing in the pool with his kids, Bev asked me when I was going to take you to the island. Well, today's the day. The island is Isle Royale, a national park in the middle of Lake Superior. It is really, I think, the Midwest's hidden gem. Bev and I have been there backpacking multiple times in the past, usually dragging a high school youth group around the island in search of faith and building community. As I pondered the lessons for this week, images of the island kept floating up in my thoughts, and at first I thought it was just me being distracted by daydreaming, but then I realized that it might be something more. Perhaps me remembering my blessings brought the island to mind, but I think it's more. This morning I'm going to take you from this church in the middle of the city on an imaginary trip to an island you've probably never visited before. It's a place of wild beauty, a place far from the pressures and distractions of everyday life. It's a place of peace. On the way, we will be learning about faith. The first thing to know about our trip is that we're going to be going backpacking. And what that means is that everything we need must be carried on our backs from camp to camp. Food, shelter, clothing, everything. Packing for a backpacking trip involves a very close examination of everything that you're thinking about taking with you. One can only carry so much, and so it's important to pack only what you need. Each item's potential benefit is compared against its weight. Every mistake results in the penance of carrying that mistake for the whole trip. No one does it right the first time without a lot of help. To really know what you need to pack and what you need to leave at home comes from experience. So too it is with the journey of faith. Much of what we think of as crucial to our faith at the start ends up being needless luxury that we drag along and never use. But the only way to find out is to go out and test your faith, to use it, to rely on it. And that can be frightening. The decision to make a journey of faith, to voluntarily put our faith to the test, takes, well, faith. And it takes courage as well. And when it comes to courage, in this endeavor, a little goes a long way. Jesus tells his followers, his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." At the beginning of a journey, it's always good to have at least a glimpse of the destination. Faith can give us that glimpse when our eyes or our hearts fail. Well, with our packs packed, we load them into the van and head north. The drive takes us through the fields of northern Illinois, the rolling moraines of southern Wisconsin, then on to the lakes of northern Wisconsin and through the iron hills of the upper peninsula of Michigan. The smooth roads carved out of the land shield us from the changes going on around us. We're going into the wilderness. As the land changes and gets more rugged, so too our thoughts turn to the time ahead. The weather is warm and sunny, but that can change very quickly up here. The trail will be up and down, over rock and root and through bog. Will we be up to it? When we're young, we tend to see the faith journey as a steady increase of faith, building on experiences learned, like walking up a gentle slope. But anyone who's traveled much on foot knows way more about the truth of journeys of faith. It's not like driving on the interstate where mileage is well marked out and exits and on-ramps are labeled and well lit. As Jesus tells his followers, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit." You see, on a journey of faith, you never know what might be coming next. It might even be coming at you out of the dark. Well, at last we arrive in the little town of Houghton, a town clinging to the side of a steep hill that surrounds the harbor below. We can see, tied up to the dock, the Ranger 3, the boat that will take us out to the island. Its light blue and white colors contrasting with the deep blue of Lake Superior in the distance. Tonight, we will rest, for the boat leaves early the next morning for its five-hour journey across the lake to Isle Royale. There's something magical about going to sea, even if the sea is only an inland lake, albeit the largest lake in the world. In the dull light of the early morning, the Ranger 3 pulls out into the long, narrow harbor and heads for Lake Superior. The wind is calm and the water is smooth as we slowly head for the mouth of the harbor. Before we even get there, however, the chill of the Great Lake cools the air around us, and we are soon surrounded by a blanket of thick fog. Land and horizon are both lost in the moist white mist that surrounds us as the engines throttle up to cruising speed. Stories of shipwrecks on the lake come unbidden to mind. I could swear I hear the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald playing on somebody's radio. Shouldn't we be going slower? A glance up to the bridge reveals the captain calmly leaning on the rail and sipping from a cup of coffee as the helmsman maintains a steady course through the fog. Above them on the mast, a small radar antenna spins, and above that, every so often, a scrap of blue sky appears. Paul says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. A trip across Lake Superior in the fog is truly an exercise in faith. For the crew of the Ranger 3, today's trip's nothing special. Oh, I'm sure there are trips when the weather isn't so cooperative and even their faith gets tested. But for those of us who've never done this kind of thing before, it's just unsettling. With no horizon, even the gentle rolling of the smooth lake is enough to set our stomachs on edge. It may not be full-blown seasickness, but all of us are just a little queasy. And this, too, is a part of the journey of faith. To get to a new place in your faith, to take your faith to the next level, is going to mean that there will be times when you will find yourself lost in the fog, when the horizon that always told you which way was up is lost from view. And you'll be forced to rely on new horizons of faith. And this is when faith grows, when it becomes stronger and more stable. The first time you lose your bearings, it can be terrifying. Suddenly you think God doesn't love you anymore, or worse, you feel no connection to God at all. But the next time the fog descends over you, well, it's not quite so bad, because you can remember that though you have that feeling, faith comes back. You don't have to be stuck there. And so eventually, like the crew of the Ranger 3, you learn how to function in the fog and how to get through it. You recognize that there will be days like this. A drop in the speed of the engines tells us that we're arriving at the island. Still can't see it, but must be on radar. Out of the fog comes a little spit of rock with cedar trees clinging to it, and then a little lighthouse. As the Ranger 3 enters Rock Harbor, the fog begins to lift, and by the time she's tied up alongside the pier, the warmth of the land has driven the fog away. It's only a forgotten memory. As packs are unloaded, each hiker comes forward to claim their load. Boots are laced up, packs are slung onto backs, and shoulder straps and belts are snugged up tight as all is made ready for the 5-mile hike to our camp. As we head down the trail and leave Rock Harbor behind, the sounds of civilization, such as they are, slowly fade. So too our own voices fall silent as the effort of hiking up and down the ridges begins to make conversation a needless distraction. We move inside. As the weight of the pack begins to make its presence felt, one reviews the contents and the list of luxuries that are included but will be left behind next time slowly grows. One might also begin to question the wisdom of the whole adventure in the first place as aches and pains grow more distinct. Am I going to make it to camp? Am I going to be the one that just sits down beside the trail and says, no more? This reexamination becomes an almost constant activity of that first day as we push and challenge ourselves to go beyond. The journey of faith, too, has these times of testing. In our reading from the letter to the Hebrews, the author recalls how Abraham's faith was tested. God promises Abram 3 things: land, children, and blessing. Abram does what Adonai asks him, but again and again on his journey, it looks to him like God isn't going to hold up God's end of the bargain. Abram has seen the land, yes, but but it belongs to somebody else, and they look pretty strong. He's living on the edges in a tent. And Abram and Sarah are old, even ancient, before they have children. What a wonderful line, as good as dead. Even though the word of the Lord comes to Abram saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield, and your reward will be very great." To the eager Abram, the words ring hollow, and the promise seems very far away. And so he cries out to the Lord, "O Lord God, what will you give me?" The journey of faith, the effort to grow our faith, to make it stronger, ends right there. In a way, right where it began, with the realization that all we have comes from God. It's no small thing that God brings Abram outside to answer that question. After a day of backpacking, when the tents are up, the dinner is done, the dishes are washed, the lake has been milked, as we say, and the water for the next day has been filtered and ready to go. In short, when all the work is done, there's only one show in town. It's time for the sky show. If you're in the right place, you can see the sun set over Lake Superior. And as day passes slowly into night, you can watch the stars come out. One cannot gaze up at the stars on a clear night and not be struck dumb by the enormity of scope. When one grows up in the city or suburbs, you can count the number of stars you can see and not run out of fingers and toes. But to look at the stars where the nearest light bulb is over 20 miles away is to be truly humbled, overwhelmed even. To see the stars is to believe again in the power of God's blessing, in the abundance of God's giving. What unimaginable generosity to give us the stars. Jesus tells us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You don't have to earn it. It's already yours. The stars remind us that if the Father is giving us the kingdom, what more do we really need? The stars are a treasure in the sky that constantly reminds us of that unfailing treasure that awaits us in heaven, that no thief can come near nor moth destroy. So, whenever it's a dark, dreary November in your soul, and you find your faith flagging, well, I bid you remember the stars. Find a dark place in a clear night and take a little time and look up. It will always be time well spent. Amen.